1 Samuel chapter 15. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." Saul is king for one reason. God let it happen. And Samuel is reminding Saul about that. And since God put him there, Saul needs to listen to the message that God is now sending him. God adopting us into his family through Jesus Christ is all the reason we need to listen, obey, and please him. Verse 2, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt." Amalek attacked Israel when they came out of Egypt, and they were really disgusting how they went about doing it. They attacked the weak and sickly Israelites who were sort of lagging behind, and God took that attack personally. He has a score to settle with the wicked, cruel men of Amalek. And so we see that you mess with God's people, you are messing with God. Verse 3. "Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." The Amalekites had a track record of being very brutal and sinful. And not only that, but God could look into the future, and he could see that if any survived, then their descendants would do even worse things to his people Israel. So because God is a God of justice, and because he protects his children, he commands the entire Amalek nation to be put to death. And by the way, the innocent little ones would go to paradise. Verse 4. "So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, 'Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt.' So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites." God knows those who are good and those who are bad, even when it can't always be discerned by his people or by any people. Amalek is going to be destroyed, but the Kenites had been good. So God is giving them a chance to get out before his judgment hits. God does not punish the righteous with the wicked. 7. "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt." And so far, Saul is being obedient to God. So far, so good. 8. "He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." Saul completely destroyed all the Amalekites except for the king. This is not simply a war with the Amalekites being the losers. The Amalekites are criminals who have been tried, condemned, and sentenced to death by the Almighty, Eternal Judge of the universe. Saul and company were to carry out their execution. 9. "But Saul and the people spared Agag," that's the king, "and the best of the sheep and oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed." Everything was to be destroyed. It was to be seen as an offering to God. Amalek would not submit to God in life, therefore they would be dedicated to God in their death. 9 again. Look at this. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed, instead of offering everything to God like they were supposed to, Saul and company gave God the garbage and kept the good things for themselves. They honored themselves before God. And this is becoming a habit with Saul. 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel that he cried out to the Lord all night. And so while others were in their beds sleeping, Samuel was on his knees crying. When a person really loves God, like Samuel did, they're going to enter into God's feelings. And that means that the things which grieve God will grieve them. Which means a lot of times, they're not going to be feeling very happy, because God has grieved an awful lot. 12. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel. And indeed, he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on ground, around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Saul should have been repenting of his sin. Instead, did you notice what he's doing? Building monuments to himself. Saul thinks way too highly of himself and way too little of God. And that's a recipe for spiritual disaster, and that's a recipe for eternal hell. Verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Saul acts as if there's nothing wrong. I've carried out the Lord's command, he said. This guy is living in the land of make-believe. He has disobeyed God, but he doesn't want to live with that reality. As a result, he creates his own little reality where he's a good little boy that does everything right, and he's so comfortable in that land of make-believe. All is well in this little world of make-believe which he has built for himself. 14. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul was having such a nice time in the land of make-believe. Boy, he was having a good time. Just so much fun. But now Samuel comes along and jolts him back into reality by speaking the truth. Impenitent sinners live in denial. They live in denial that God is going to judge them, that what they are doing is inherently sinful. Many of them do anyway. But the facts witness against them that they are guilty. And those facts and their guilt doesn't go away simply by pretending it's not there. 15. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. Notice Saul says, they brought them. Notice what else it says. Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. They brought, and the people spared. In other words, I didn't do it, Samuel. The first line of defense for impenitent sinners who get caught is often to blame shift. And so it says, Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Saul may or may not have had good intentions. I rather think that he did not. But even if he did, you know, good intentions do not justify sinful actions. God's not going to thank him for his disobedience, and neither will Samuel, because he knew the word of the Lord. He just disregarded it. 16. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. Samuel brings Saul's spiritual double talk to a screeching halt. Just be quiet. Shut up. And there is no reason at all for those of us who love God to stand by and listen to impenitent sinners use double talk to justify themselves. And so Samuel confronts Saul with the holy word of God. Verse 17. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Back in the days when Saul didn't think he was much, God made him king. Now Saul thinks he's Mr. Wonderful. But now God is going to remove him from being king. And that's because the arrogant Saul forgot that God was the reason he was made king in the first place and that he was supposed to be God's servant. 18, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. And so the command to Saul was crystal clear. God's command to him left no room for any doubt at all. God's commands are always clear. If he wants you to do something, he's going to make sure that you know. And his commands in the Word of God are crystal clear. They don't need to be interpreted. 19. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? The command was so clear. And so Samuel wants to know why it was disobeyed. This war was God's work and it needed to be done God's way. Saul used this war to make a name for himself and a profit for himself. 20. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Double talk like this is enough to drive a spiritual man like Samuel insane. I did okay. I did destroy completely. But oh, by the way, here's one I did not destroy. Spiritual double talk. Saul is saying, I partially obeyed, which is the same as saying, I completely disobeyed. Sinful souls are often deceitful souls. They deceive themselves into thinking that they can set aside God's command for whatever they feel may be a suitable substitute. 21. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. He admits that the plunder was supposed to be destroyed. He knew the Lord's will, and so he was completely without excuse. And that type of sin is the worst type of sin. 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. A relationship with us is more important to God than a gift from us. A person who obeys God because the Lord is important to him is better than a person who thinks that they can make up for their indifference toward God with an offering. God does not appreciate being paid off. 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. In other words, willful disobedience, a willingness to ignore God's will, is idolatry to God. People might not call it this, but it is self-worship. Look at verse 23 again. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. God raised Saul up, and now God set Saul aside. He would not follow God, so he is not fit to lead man. And I will tell you that if a person doesn't submit to God, they are not qualified to lead people. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch.